Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory. What joy it is to be in the house together. Amen. I am delighted to be back. It's Core Church now, excuse me, but I was here numbers of years ago and several years in a row. And I actually, Pastor Joy and I were reminiscing a little bit. First time I ever preached in any church on a Sunday morning was right here. Yes. Amen. It was right here. And that's been a number of years ago now, and I do it often as I'm asked. But I am not a pastor. I am simply a Bible teacher, and my ministry is a Bible teaching ministry. But it is such a joy to be here and be one with you folk this morning. The praise was, let's just say his spirit was feelable, knowable, palatable. You felt it inside. You felt it. You knew he was listening. He was with you. And he truly loves you more than you've ever dreamed. And what he has for us is more than we've ever dreamed. And as he gradually, through the ages, and his revelation is progressive, and as he gradually unfolds his word through the ages, it is what is pulled back are, it's like things, scales taken off our eyes. It's like layers taken off of an onion, but it's not an onion. It's the good things of God. And he just gradually unfolds. And what we could not even begin to think about 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, now we're beginning to embrace because we see it. It's not that just we understand it. It's we're beginning to see it. We not only are knowing it, we're beginning to see it. There was a time in worship where the primary expression was hymns. I want to tell you, it doesn't make any difference what the expression is. What makes the difference is your heart. But the Lord kind of pulled back and he did a new thing. And we use the hymns, but, you know, they're interspersed. And so you say, well, I like the old hymns. Yeah, they're nice, but if you're not careful, you spend all your time in your mind with them and never translate into spirit expression, which the choruses were intended for. I know they don't do it automatically either. No system does it for you. It is just the Lord and you interacting. And you were willing this morning and you were interacting and you were moving in his spirit. And so in that same, and we identify the time of worship with the time of music. I love music. It helps our soul express, but and it helps our spirit express. But worship is our portion. So we're continuing in worship, just like our giving was worship. Everything. Thank you for your comments on giving. They were very good. Bless you. But everything we do is to be worship, particularly when we are together. And so let's transition, same spirit, same movement, same flow, into the word this morning. Lord, I thank you for your hungry people. I thank you for you this morning blessing us with a special dose of the ability to sense your spirit. Wake us up in our spirits. Wake us up. I know you dwell in our spirits, for we have you inside. Now wake us up so that we're not always related to the natural, but we begin to relate to the spirit. And as we open your word, may not stay stuck in the natural, but help us begin to receive your spirit breath revelation off of it and breathe in life and hope and joy and healing and goodness and all the things you bring in our lives. We love you together. And everyone said, amen. Years ago, when I had small children, we did this thing. We particularly did it when we had two, and then we ended up with four. It was a little harder, but we called it an all-together hug. And so my husband is named Joe, and he's a big guy, but we would hold our arms like this, and the kids would run into them, and we would hug all together. That's what this is this morning. And it's the Spirit of God hugging us all together, and I'm so privileged to be in this place at this point in time. We're going to be working out of John 17. Now, John 17 is a very familiar passage. And most Christians think they know what it means, and I really thought I knew what it meant. I had taught it that way because that's what I knew, and I praise God for His grace, and that you don't have to be right in Jesus. Are you ready to hear that? You don't have to be right in Jesus. Now, I love being right according to the Word, and I've studied the Word all my life to be right, but I've discovered something. When I stand before Him in all His glory and stand on my box of right in the light of what is truly real, it will seem wrong. It's not a system. It's a person. Embracing His person doesn't take a lot of knowledge, but you're going to want the knowledge to be able to do as He does in the world. You want His breath, and you want it off of it. But it's not about knowing. It is about knowing. In the Scripture, there are several Greek words that are translated know. But two main ones are gnosis, and that's know, and epinosis. In the Greek, when you have what's the equivalent of an EPI in the front of it, it sets it into another dimension. Epinosis is full experiential knowledge. It doesn't just mean here. It means that you have experienced Him. You may have even seen Him face to face. You know that you know, not because you've drilled it in your skull, but because you've exposed your whole person and He's exposed His whole person, and the two of you are lovers in the Spirit of God, and that's a holy thing. It is a knowing that nobody takes away, because I've seen it. I felt it. I've experienced it. I've been alone as far as man is concerned, but I wasn't alone because of Jesus. And the way He filled it was astronomically wonderful. I couldn't ask for anything more. So as we seek the knowledge of the Word, it's always necessary, always, because it's like seeking Him. Years ago, when my husband and I, we celebrated the first of this month, September 1, was our 56th wedding anniversary. Thank you, Jesus. I have to say, it is through effort. We worked at it, but we worked at it in Jesus, because we would have torn it up numbers of times and pretty effectively did. So marriage isn't about having 56 happy years. There's a good number of them we would never want to live again. But it is about keeping on, keeping on. If you can both do that. And a lot of times you can't. I'm not working with condemnation. I'm just saying. Those 56 years, I'm going back when I was engaged to him, just prior to our marriage. We were separated for the summer. I had a job in the college where he was going to be finishing his degree. And he was at our churches then, our denomination's youth camp, as their music director. He is a musician, music teacher. Or used to be. He's still a musician. He's retired. But he wrote me every other day while he was gone. Now, my husband doesn't write letters. I now know what a miracle that was. And I would read one. Now, you need to understand, he was teaching them music. It is a language I don't speak. Now, the Lord has gifted me and I can sing, but I haven't a clue about all the ins and outs at all. So I didn't understand what he was teaching them. And he was doing things in the mountains of New Mexico, and I had no idea what that even looked like. So a lot of his letters I didn't get. You know, I didn't care. I heard from my love. And I would read that one I had a job that was quite demanding, and so every morning when I got up, I would read that. And then at night I would read that, knowing I was not going to know any more than I did at the end. But I was closer to him. And all summer long, I did that. And he would write another one. I'd get another one on Thursday. And I'd do the same until I got another one on Monday or Tuesday. And I did that the entire summer until he and his family came and got me. And we went further into Texas to where we were to be married at my parents' place. But I still have those letters. Now, I don't need to read them because of the dimension of life that Joe and I now share. And I have more an idea of what he's talking about. I lived with a music teacher for a long time. 39 years he taught in the public schools. Now, equate that to the Lord. The Lord's often going to put in his book things I don't get. It's not about getting it. It's about experiencing him, even when I haven't got it. And so I'm finding that I didn't get a lot in my reading, but he counted it as if I did. And he loved me as if I did. So let the stress of all the right go. And as we work within the confines of biblical truth, which is always right, our understanding of that sometimes changes as we move. But that's just to me a word of hope. When I discovered that, it just eased the stress off. And so, yes, come to Bible study. Get as much of him as you can. Experience him every way you can. But, beloved, know that he's just as much in you and with you in your quiet chair at home or doing dishes or at your job as he is there, too. All right. Now we're in. That's just a little free of charge, but I think the Lord wanted us to hear that. In John 17. Our lesson begins in verse 20. But Jesus, this is truly the Lord's Prayer. The one we call the Lord's Prayer is the Our Father. That's a disciple's prayer. This one is the Lord's Prayer. It was the prayer for his disciples, for his apostles, just prior to his arrest, crucifixion, so forth. And he has talked about them not being of the world, but in the world, and so forth and so on. And he's prayed very thoroughly for his apostles who were hearing this. Then in verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's who we are. That's us. I pray. Jesus prayed before he died for me. And he prayed for you. And he prayed that they will believe. And my version says in. In the Greek, it is a little different word than in. It is into me. I hope you sense the movement. The word into has a movement. That they will believe into me. Not just a mental here that I believe Jesus, but an into. It has the idea I'm placing all I am into. And truly that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes in. Into him is where we are. All right. Verse 21. That they may all, say all. What does that leave out? Does it leave anybody out? All. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Long-term Sunday school teacher. Yeah, everybody. Those in the know and those not in the know. Those who can learn to know and those who can't. All. Those who are stupid and those who are wise. I identify with the latter more. All right, it's just natural we do, don't we? Oh, that's talking about me. All right, now. That they may, verse 21 again, that they may what? All. You're going to have to learn to say that word together. That they may all be what? One. We bump right here into the concept of scriptures regarding the numerical one. You see, this is an Eastern book, and in the Eastern peoples, they regarded everything that was alike as one. In other words, I could hold up one big pin, or I could hold up a whole bunch of big pins, identical, and they would say, you have one pin, because it's all alike. Well, we understand that because we are the body of Christ, whether we're one or 200,000. It's one. All right, so he's talking about that concept of one. Notice what he says. That they may, how many? All be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. But it doesn't end there. Notice he says, they will believe into me through their word. It begins with believing into Christ. Then they will all be one as you are in me and I am in you. In other words, this unity that he is talking about, and forgive me for using the word unity because it's kind of a natural, I've used it for so many years, but the Bible never talks about unity. It talks about one and oneness, a whole different concept than our understanding of unity. Unity always implies getting together and making adjustments and so forth and so on. No. One. The only adjustment is Jesus. One. Anyone in Christ is one with the rest of those in Christ. Now then, that happened in the Spirit. Not because, you know, there's a beautiful song I used to sing, Father, Make Us One. You know, we sang it. It was kind of like Kumbaya. It went kind of with that. But the reality of it is, it's not up to us to do it at all. It has nothing to do with me doing anything. If I have received Christ, if I am in Christ, I am one with everybody else in Christ, whether they know it or not. It's not up to my agreeing. It's not up to anything but the Spirit of God that lives in me. See, once the Spirit of God... What it would be in, thank you. What it would be in Hamilton if absolutely no member of any church fought with any other member of the church. Woo! Glory. All of a sudden we would have a power force of the Spirit of God that was beyond anything we could ever imagine. And we would begin to move in that power because we wouldn't be undercutting the very Spirit we're serving by cutting somebody else down. Even if they're wrong. And of course they are. Of course they are. I remember one time having an argument. I was in the Holy Spirit and my husband was not. He's an evangelical believer and we had a few. But anyway, we were at the kitchen and he went back to something that was old and I was beside myself with it. And so he and I stood there and argued. I mean, it was like not nice. We're not shouters. We usually have cold wars, but you know how that goes. But I've lived through a lot of months of not talking. But anyway, this whole idea, we got back and forth, and I, in disgust, left the kitchen. I went back into my bedroom and threw myself across the bed and intended to cry out to the Father and cry because I was so misunderstood, and Joe hadn't seen the truth, and here we are. And the Lord, His presence didn't seem to be in that bedroom. Now, it was because I was in the bedroom. But I knew that there was something to be dealt with. And I looked up the ceiling. Now, the Lord's not in the ceiling, but you know how we always look up. I looked up at the ceiling and I said, "What?" And I said, "He's wrong." And the Lord said, "Yes. And your attitude is worse." Then I cried because I was so wrong. I was right. So I had to learn to relate to him. So that's what we're working with. We're not working with ugliness toward anyone. We're working with the fact of one. We're working with the truth of one. Now it gets even better. Just hang on. We're not to the good stuff yet. All right. That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. May they also be, what's that word? One. Can you say that one together? One. May they also be one where? In you are us. This one says, in you, Father, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I'm going to read it again. Look at what he's described. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now I'm going to stop right there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Trinity we call God, correct? Three in one, one in three. A great mystery, but there's some keys in the word, but I'm not talking on that today. This one. He says, I want them to be one in us, as you are in me and I am in you, Father. I remember sitting reading this, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus, I am so sorry I have not recognized you. Because when I turn to talk with Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, and I've discovered he doesn't care which one. That I was at the table of the Trinity. Do you realize every time you pray, every time you talk, every time you reference in your mind the Lord, you are immediately in the presence of the Trinity as one. Not less than. Get a hold of it. Not less than. Now, I'm not God. You're not God. I'm never the head. You're never the head. But we are his what? Body. We belong where he is. And he belongs where we are. And that's not dependent on my behavior. That's dependent on the truth of the word. My behavior will line up with that when I receive the good news that it's all done for me. I am one in Jesus Christ, not only with every brother or sister in Christ. I am one with the Trinity. And they're anxious to let me be a part. Now you just think about that. Now did Jesus take away all our sin? You're very quiet about that. Hebrews says he came to do away with sin. He either did it or he didn't do it. And if you're playing with it, you're trying to play with something that'll kill you because it's dead. That's all it has is dead. He did away with sin and he took away the distance between himself and humanity. Do you realize no one will ever go to hell because of sin? Hang on. They'll go to hell if they don't know Jesus. But sin's off the table. And for the Christian, I'm in his love. I'm forgiven day to day. Does that mean I never repent? No. Repenting means change your mind. I've already confessed, I've had to change my mind about a lot of stuff. But this kind of understanding of holiness where he's high and lifted up and I just can't reach to him. And yes, he is high and lifted up, but I am seated with him in that high and lifted up place. And I am called to relate to the earth as he is relating to the earth. I am one in him. He is one in me. I don't make it happen. He made it happen. It's up to me to release it and to begin to walk in it, to begin to trust him more than my flesh. My flesh says a lot of gobbledygook. It's not true. What is true is what the Spirit is in me. What the Spirit is in me. I remember a day, it wasn't too long ago, when I was working with the Lord. And I mean, I'm not a young chicken, so I can't do all that I used to do. And I'm going, oh Jesus, are you closing doors? Are you going to fold this up like a box? What are you going to do? And he says, you don't need people to teach. I said, well, don't. He says, no, you can write it. I'm learning. I'm not a good writer, so I'm having to learn. My English is long gone. There's this program on the internet called Grammarly. It really helps. But anyway, you can write it. You can put it on the internet. I'm not closing you down, honey. Don't look at what is and think that's a door closed. It's not closing. I'm not going to stop your teaching as long as we have breath to do it together, which is the way you have to do it anyway. We're going to be teaching. And if that's laying flat on my back using a microphone into a computer, then that's what it will be. I'm not anticipating that. I'm anticipating a long run and going out strong. That's what I want. But you understand what I'm saying? Nothing about you and God ends unless you choose to cut it. Nothing about you. Now, he will still be there. And we've got testimonies after testimonies. God will always bring you home, one way or the other. The trip is just how long do you want to make it? Or do you want to embrace this life which is beyond any life, not because it's so good on this level, but because our being is encased in His being and we are experiencing elements of heaven even while in this body that gets older? I want you to catch the vision. Don't evaluate your God on the basis of what you see here. Evaluate God on the basis of what He sees. What is He looking at? What does He want you to pray about? Ask Him. You know, there's a lot of reasons prayers aren't answered. Many times we're praying for things God already did. I'm going to throw one out to you. Pastor Joy may want to tar and feather me, but He's already saved every human being if they will turn to Him. He does not get back on the cross when you blow it or somebody needs Him. You understand He died once for, what's that word? All. So it's all done. So you're in Him. Might as well begin to live in the heavenly places, beginning to see things that He sees, know things that He knows. And yes, it's through the Word, and it's also worth in your relationship. There's a spiritual seeing. If there is a natural, there is a spiritual. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15. If there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. If there is a natural expression, there is a spirit expression. Go for the spirit expression and then let that influence the natural. As long as we're addressing the natural, we will be very limited. When we begin to work in the spirit and start addressing from the spirit point of view, then that's already done. That's already done. We can begin to pray according to the already done and not to what we see is lacking. Beloved, I know this isn't real simple, but please, He doesn't let me teach about any other thing much of anymore. I mean, everything I do comes back to one way or the other, being united with Him in such an inter... I said, Lord, how does this work? When I said yes to You, You went inside. How did that work? Where are You now in me, you know? Where? And all the Lord did was show me the baby in the manger, and I got it. When Jesus came as a human being, every little cell was infused with God. When Jesus came inside of you, every one of your cells is infused with the life of Jesus. Oh, you're not limited to your life. You got His. You got His mind. You got His life. Let's go on and figure this out, though, because there's a little bit more, and I don't want to take too much time. All right. May they also be one in us. That's what makes the world know that You've sent me. Not just them loving one another, but them praying in a supernatural power, them living in a supernatural expression, them loving when they should be hating, them washing feet when they should be putting you down. You understand what I'm saying? It is upside down, but it is the way in which the Spirit moves. All right. Now notice, verse 22. I have given them the glory which You gave Me, that they may be one, even as We are what? One. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I have given them the glory which You gave Me, that they can be one. Now, I know it's in Isaiah. I looked it up. I did have it underlined, so it made it easy. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, He says, I am the Lord, and that is My name, and My glory I will not give to another, nor My praise to graven images. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you. He says He doesn't give His glory to another. I agree with that. You're not another. Catch the vision. If you don't have His glory, you can't be His expression. You got to operate out of what He's given you. You're the glory of God. You're a human being walking around infused with Jesus Christ, with the glory of God. And nobody can put you down because you've got Him lifting you up. Whoa. Now you know why every word comes to pass, because when His words comes out of your mouth, then It's the Trinity. You understand what I'm talking about? You can go by and you can touch and God's will be done and he begins to move. Beloved, we're not limited to what we think. We're only limited by our lack of knowledge of what he's done. We are supernatural God-infused human beings, actually aliens in our world. Don't try to be normal. You'll never fit in. What is that memo on Facebook? I was normal for 1 minute and the worst minute of my life. All right. All right. Now then, notice, you have his glory. So if somebody says, oh, don't take God's glory. Oh, you got to. Let me express something right quickly. On a wedding day, you know, you have a wedding. And the line of guys come in with the groom and the pastor is standing here and then the ladies start walking down, the music is going, and everyone's just enamored with how beautiful everything is, and it's just wonderful. And who is the guy standing up there waiting for her, after all? You're not looking at him. You don't really care what he looks like. You're glad he dressed appropriately and shaved or not today. But you understand what I'm saying. Nobody cares who the groom is. Nobody's standing up for that guy. And then they turn and they turn the music and all of a sudden the entire congregation stands and in walks who? The bride. And where are all eyes? On the bride. What are they taking pictures of? The bride. Do you see? I want you to understand something. I can remember going to one of my dear friend's children's wedding, her oldest daughter, knockout. And it was an outdoor wedding and in their lawn, and we were watching, and out comes her husband-to-be. We had never met him. And afterwards, Joe leaned over to me. He says, how did he get her? Because he wasn't that handsome. It's a marriage that is taken. They have beautiful children. It's all good. But he wasn't handsome. He didn't match her in outward beauty. He just didn't do. How did he get her? So nobody's really caring about him. I'm sorry, guys, but this is kind of the way it goes. But everybody loves the bride. Everybody wants to see the bride. Everybody's adoring the bride. This is the bride's day. She is his glory. The groom is receiving all the glory as he stands beside the bride. You see, Jesus people don't see unless they are in him and are having some visions of him and are in that heavenly spirit places. That's where he's seeing. But as a general rule, he's not seen by our normal people. But they see the bride. She has to carry his glory because they'll never see his face if they don't see his bride. So don't be afraid of God's glory. Shine all you want. It's not you anyway. And as long as that's good in your spirit and you're not thinking you're something special except in Jesus, I'm really special in him. Other than that, no. Nothing about me. But in him, oh, there's a rare thing here going on with him. And I'm so excited about what he's doing. And it's all glory to God. Because if you knew my background and my growing up, oh yes, I'm a pastor's daughter, but I live my life behind my father's knees, as timid as I could be. I'm really an introvert. All the tests say so. Give me a book and let me find a corner on an airplane. I'm not looking to bring somebody to Jesus. You know, that's ace. I'm just looking for a spot to sit and read, maybe nap, and let the people do whatever the people want to do. I'm just like, Jesus, you want me to do what? And I had to get the timidity cast out of me. I didn't believe in such things at the time. And Sylvia Evans asked me what I needed prayer for, and I told her I had the ministry, and I just said, I get real bold, and then I back up, and she... You know, timid people don't want you praying deliverance loudly. They want you to adjust to that timidity. She took my hands in the name of Jesus out of her. And I started shaking. And it was a big church. And the whole tabernacle began to, you know, I'm just sure everybody was looking at me. Well, no, they were praying. They were doing other things. But it shook me to my core. And I took my Bible and a pad, and I went out by a little lake that's there on the campus where I was, and I sat for 2 hours crying and submitting. And I came out of there without a timid bone in my body. Because he can't afford timidity. That's fear. That's fear. So I'm supernatural because of my Jesus. Without him, I'm a little of nothing. A freckle-faced little girl with thick glasses. They're in there. Thick glasses, looking around behind my daddy's knee, scared of anybody. But in Jesus, he's making a lion, not a lamb. In Jesus. So you don't look to your flesh. You know, but I'm not like that. He doesn't really care. He doesn't really care. I told him in a Pentecostal church, it was real nice that they were dancing, but you know. And he said, and what about you? And I said, well, you know, I'm English and Irish. They just, he said, it isn't about you, Iris. In other words, I don't care if you're English or Irish. Will you get with the program? Oh, my Jesus. You know, I really thought it was about me. I thought we knew this was expression I could do easily. No, no, no. It's not natural for me. It's natural for me to be quiet and not seen in the back. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I will bring him glory. And the only way I can is to be supernaturally his, moving in a being that is now bold. No, I still don't like to be called on the carpet. It happens occasionally. But I'm learning to be gracious in it and deal in it. But you understand what I'm saying. God is saying we are one with him. Not the Trinity and somebody little bitty on the side that may or may not get it. No. Colossians 2 says, and I'm wild this morning, so this going to just go over here. Colossians 2 says, he was full of the deity, and we have all received his fullness. Colossians 2:19. And sometimes they change the word to complete, but the word isn't complete. It means full. It's the same one he has. You have the same thing he does. All right. I will quickly move. You're beginning to see you're one with him. Now, I understand it first hits in the mind, and then we begin to sit with it. Look at the passage. Begin to sit with the passage. Meditate on the passage until it is a part of you, and you know it's true. He's called you to be a part of him. Part of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your world. All right. Given you his glory. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me. My version says that they may be perfect in, and mine says unity, but it's not unity. It reads like this, that they may be, and I'm going to work with that word in just a minute. Yours may have complete or perfect or whatever. In, and that is another word, into, that thou may be perfect into one. Into one. The word perfect here means filled. It can mean complete. It means to lack nothing. But the real primary meaning of the root word is consummated. That means that my Jesus has brought my life between he and I to a point of total satisfaction in my life. And there's where I live. Lacking nothing. Because nothing's left to anybody else. Therefore, I don't look at somebody else and blame them for what I'm not. But instead, I can receive them for who they are because they're not responsible for what I am. They're not going to make me or break me. My Jesus consummates my life. And I understand why they don't translate it there. We always take that word other places. But when we began to understand what he is after, it's not that I get totally where nothing's wrong with me. That's never an issue. Because of Jesus' blood, that's never an issue. The issue is, will I find my life in him? And it's a learning process. You begin to open that door. And I said, Jesus, you really wanted to be my person, my best friend. What do they call it now? BFF? You wanted to be my friend. You know, when you walk with Jesus and you're in a position of leadership, you do end up walking away from a lot of people that used to love you. They still may love you, but they're not sure they want to be around you anymore. Because you know who she thinks she is? No, let me tell you who I know I am. My pastor has a phrase. She says, how long you got? I would like to tell you about the Christ I know, who is the answer to every heart's desire across the board, where there is no men or women, no male or female in the kingdom of God. And across the board, he's not addressing you because of who you ought to be, because in his mind, he doesn't really care right now. He simply wants to bring you into a place of love with him where he is all you need. You will then enjoy your life much better, but it will not be dependent on anyone else. He is the point. He is the point. Let me finish this paragraph and I'll close. I hope I'm within my time. I forgot to ask. All right. Oh, do I really? Well, we might have to finish the chapter. We'll see. Notice that they may be consummated into one. Whatever's in the natural is just something that's telling us something about what's in the spirit. Reach for the spirit. All right? That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Now I'm going to say something I've said several times. What he's talking about is dependent on one thing. Have you allowed your heart to move into Christ? Have you opened your heart for him to move into you? If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, he's not asking you to spend all your life in the elementary place of trying to get other people to be obedient and follow some form of law. He is wanting to bring you into the heavenly realms where you sit with him in the government places and you begin to make a difference and people are drawn to Jesus. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We become empowered to lift him up in ways we never dreamed when we understand that we are one and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are walking in me. They choose to live my life with me. They choose to live your life with you. And they will submit to what you choose. It operates by love. So whatever I choose. And there are times I would choose something and I said, Lord, you want me to choose that? You know, is that the way you want me to go? I don't micromanage my life because I learn. You want me to choose that? Sometimes it's okay if I want to. He'll do it with me. It's okay. He doesn't take a hike when you choose to do something you shouldn't. Ooh, Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Yikes. That's kind of a heavy. I don't mean to be heavy, but you understand that's good news. And the dimension of presence we felt this morning, that's available to you anytime. But he's not going to do it for you. He's going to allow you to release into him at your choice. And if you don't get out of your expression, he probably won't interact too much. He won't, the ladies that were with you, he won't go make my breakfast. I used that yesterday. All the stuff is in there. He's provided everything. But if I don't get out of my chair and go fix my breakfast, guess who doesn't need breakfast? You want his presence. You want all of it. You want everything. Then engage. And let him help you forget what you're not. And begin to engage in who he is and watch. Yes, we want the world changed, and yes, we want our loved ones changed, and yes, there's a lot of things that we've been praying for. Let's kick it up to another dimension. Let's work with him in how to pray for them. You know, when my children were young, I have a mother's ring. I have 4 children, 3 sons and a daughter, and you met my daughter. And I used to really, I mean, I would really pray for those kids. Any way that came along that seemed helpful, I hunted for prayers that were effective. Please, you know, let me pray for my kids some way that will help, because I had in mind the Holy Spirit being kind of like me there watching and helping, you know. And I remember when our oldest went to college, he went to a music conservatory, not because we could afford it, but because God could. He tithed his lawn mowing, and he said, "My God will take care of my tuition." He went 5 years to Oberlin Music Conservatory. We ended with a two-subject major in his degree, and all we had to pay was $2,000 to get the last bit covered. You're working unbelievable miracles. But he went to this very liberal school. Oberlin has a saying, if it happens in the U.S., it happens first at Oberlin. Nothing godly about that. And so for about 6 months, the Lord let me pray, "Lord, surround him with other students who are believers." And I'm sure there must be some professors in there that are believers. You understand what we're doing? You know, understand what I'm doing? And this mother's heart was just, okay, he's you know, 19, he's able to go to school, and I know he's now legal age, and so the college won't respond to me. It's him. And so I'm just putting angels around him. I'm just doing the motherly thing in intercession to keep my kids safe. The rest of them I think are safe because I got them around me. Little did I know. But anyway, I'm working on it. And that went along for about 6 months. And then I began my normal ritual of prayer for him. And I knew the Lord just did this. Usually it feels like a tin ceiling. You know, it's not going anywhere. And again, I asked him what. And he said, "You start, I'll tell you when to finish." "Lord Jesus, I give you crack. Finish." And I started crying because I thought the Lord's going to take him. I thought the worst, the Lord's just going to take him. Well, the Lord didn't take him. He ended up becoming a man of God in that godless place. He served 17 years. He just finished, just left his 17 years post as a music pastor in a large church. He's now in Temple University going after another master's. Again, supernatural provision. You see, I needed to pray differently because God had him. And my journey was to trust God with him and back Mama off. I've had that with every one of the kids, one way or the other. One way or the other. Mama's hearts, they have to get torn off. They just don't come off. They have to get torn off. Beloved, there is a life available in the Spirit, which means we begin to entertain angels very much. And we begin to entertain the body of Christ in an understanding. They may be contrary as all get out, but God made me one with them. I got to bless them. And that's really hard when you're a woman preacher and they don't believe in you. But guess what? He just needs more hugs and more information. Sooner or later, that'll break down because the obvious anointing will take care of it. So I don't fight that. No, Pastor Joy didn't fight that anymore. You just do in the anointing. All right. Let's very quickly finish the passage and then we're finished. "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am." Where is he? He is in us. Where else is he? Seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's on the throne, right? "I want them to be, that they may see my glory." I want them to be where I am. I want them to see my glory, which you've given me. For you loved me before the creation of the world. It's not creation, it's foundation. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. I have declared your name to them, and I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. The good news is too good to comprehend. So take the passage and recognize my Jesus has brought me into not just the throne room. He's brought me to sit on the throne so that I can see what he sees and know what he knows, so I can minister his word and minister his thoughts and minister his love and minister everything he is and has to my world. And that's exactly your commission. When he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. He didn't have in mind just making a few special people. He had in mind a body of Christ and a body that would cooperate with what the head told him to do automatically. You know, my arms just do it. I don't think about moving my arms. I just do. I don't think about where I'm going to walk. I just walk. There's just certain things you just do. That's where we are. And as we're functioning in that, it's total love. It's total love. It's total care. It's total, okay, you'll get beyond this. Okay, I know there are things happening. You'll get beyond this. There's love, there's hope, there's power. We're not stuck in Old Testament form of Christianity. We've got the power of God, the love of God, the pleasingness of God. And we just pretty much threw out a lot of religion this morning. We have a place in his heart. So begin to turn. Begin to trust him. Begin to allow it. I'm going to call Pastor up and let her give whatever invitation or encouragement she feels needful. Thank you for being one with me and for blessing God together with me. I have a visual in one of my PowerPoints I used, and I made it accidentally, but I just kept it. It is a heart, kind of a modern shaped heart, and it's full of other little hearts, and I loved that. But I hit some button and it turned everything between the little hearts blood red. We're connected by blood. You're my blood family in the spirit. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. And I love the fact that the church I attend, New Heart in Baldwinsville, they worship and study the word and do all of that starting at 10:30. And we're not usually gone till we're 12:30 or 1 before we kind of stretch it out a little bit. But this is beautiful. So I can think of Hamilton's core church and all the precious ones that are one with me here. As I worship with you on Sunday mornings, I love that. And as Lauren leads our worship on Sunday morning, you'll be there with us, and we'll be there here with you. He's done a mighty work. We're one in him. Thank you, Jesus. You're right. Come, Pastor. Hallelujah. Bless you.
So for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for a groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing.
Jesus.